My name is Amy Esdorn. I'm working as the historian for the Society of Petroleum Engineers. Today is Friday, June 5th, 2015, and I'm here interviewing Nancy Music. Good morning, Nancy. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
The first question I want to ask you is, how did you get involved in the industry?
Okay. I got started in the industry when I was about 13 years old, when my father took me out to my first drilling rig, and I just immediately had just this passion in my heart and soul for the oil industry. But I think it goes back even before that, because I've always liked math and science and problem solving and puzzles and things like that, which I think I get that from my mother. And my father was a landman, so you know, he always talked about his work and taking me out on the rig for the first time. But also before my dad were many other relatives that worked in the business, and it was just natural. But when I went out on that rig and stepped foot on the rig for the first time, that's when I think the passion was ignited for petroleum engineering. And then, of course, as I learned more about it, reservoir engineering. And then as time went along, more into technical writing, project management, and things like that.
And how old were you when you went out on that first on the rig the first time?
I think I was about 13. Mm-hmm. You know, I was middle school, about eighth grade maybe. And it was in South Texas, just outside of Corpus Christi. I think it was Chapman Ranch down there for anyone that knows the area. And my dad took me on the drill floor, which, you know, back in that time it was okay, but nowadays, of course, HSE restrictions wouldn't allow that. But it was like an impromptu take your daughter to work day, and I was just driving around with my dad as he checked in on leases and things for his job. So,
and what sort of interested you in that? What made you kind of go, oh, this is what I want to do, when you saw that when you were 13 years old?
I think just I was on the drill floor in the doghouse where the driller's at, and just looking at the people working on the floor and just the mechanics of it all, and then also just it was exciting to know they were drilling for something. You know, they couldn't see it or touch it, but they were drilling for that precious commodity. So it was exciting.
And so after you were 13, what was sort of the course that you took, you know, to get into the industry?
I was fortunate because my father's one of my father's best friends, and also the head of the company, was a reservoir engineer by training, and he took me under his wing and mentored me and groomed me for reservoir engineering in particular. So he advised me on what I should be studying in the remainder of my high school years, where I should go for engineering school. I even asked him one time, should I get a dual degree? And he said, no, just focus on reservoir engineering and be, you know, the best you can at that. He also, they set me up in the company for summer jobs, and I learned from sort of the back office all the way through the engineering. I did materials management. I also, at one time, I had a part-time job as a gas contracts administrator. Did work on that. I ended up going to University of Texas, and in the summer programs there, I worked as a field engineer and a roustabout, and also did a summer job in Longview and worked on reciprocating compressors and was mentored, of course, through all those things by the engineer in that area. And they were always very patient and just encouraging, and they were always great to me. So that encouraged me more. So then I kept going and did some summer jobs in the research and technology division, and also I did a summer job in Alaska on Prudhoe Bay engineering. So I was blessed with a lot of good opportunities.
And when was this that you were getting involved in the industry? When did you go to college and start doing all of your jobs?
I started college in the fall of 1982. I went to junior college and got my associate's in engineering in May of 84. Went on to the University of Texas in the fall of 84. Graduated with my bachelor's in December of 87 and continued on for a brief time in graduate school, petroleum engineering, in particular horizontal pressure transient analysis under Dr. Peters at the University of Texas. So I went to junior college, but I knew all along I was going to go to the University of Texas, so I made sure all my classes transferred for the proper equivalence there, and I worked my way through school, and I paid for my education myself through working and scholarships, and graduated with no student loans or anything. So I think it's doable. So
what challenges did you face once you started your career?
When I went to the University of Texas, the people in the department were always great, but there weren't many women around in the engineering field back then. But I never thought too much about it. It never occurred to me, but occasionally it was brought to my attention that I was in the minority, but I never did let it deter me. In fact, it probably just motivated me to work even harder and be even better, you know, because being a woman, one of the few women in the business at the time, I had to really be top of the class. So I worked hard and made good grades and was top of my class. So, yeah.
And once you got into your career, what kind of challenges did you face there?
The first permanent job I had was as a reservoir engineer in Alaska doing simulation for an area of Prudhoe Bay called the Eileen West End accumulation. And they had never had a woman in their group, and they had never had a bachelor of science person. They're always higher degrees. And they never had anyone that was brand new out of school. They were all more like subject matter experts by that time. So I was breaking all sorts of barriers, I guess, at the time. And but they all were very friendly and mentored me and got me up to speed very quickly. And I enjoyed the job, and I enjoyed working with all the people in the group. So
with your first job, were you nervous, as you said? I mean, everybody were experts in their field there. Were you, when you went in, were you sort of afraid that you didn't know enough, or did you have any fears about that or qualms?
Well, yeah, I guess I should back up. I went in and took over the project I had worked on for the summer. So I did a summer project initializing a reservoir simulation model for this area, Prudhoe Bay, and that was a bit, challenging, because I was like, I haven't done a lot of simulation. I'd only had like my senior project in school, and even then that was a group project, so I didn't have to do a whole lot on my own. So I was a bit nervous because I'd never done a lot of simulation. and also with a big major oil company in Alaska. And then the person that was mentoring me was, you know, such a well-regarded person. I thought, wow, you know, this can, I better not mess this up. So, but he was very patient, and I asked plenty of questions. I've always believed in asking questions. If you don't know something, just go ask or research it, whatever, but don't just sit there and don't make a lot of assumptions and do something wrong. So ask for help. So I did.
And so when you asked for help, you generally, you got it too.
Oh, yeah. People, the petroleum engineers in general, I think they're just always very, my experience is that they've always been very willing to help and to impart their knowledge to you and mentoring. So it was just a given. I mean, I didn't know any different. And so when I became a professional engineer out of school, I started mentoring a high school. I had a high school girl that I was mentoring through SPE there in Alaska. And it was just natural. That's just what you do, you know.
So. That's wonderful. So you've sort of, what was the course that your job, your career path sort of took in those first few years? And what did you do? And would you recommend that somebody would follow in those steps? But what was your career path at first?
Well, I've had a very unique and I think very interesting career path. Once I graduated with my bachelor's and went to work in Alaska, my husband also worked for the same company in Alaska as a reservoir engineer, and we worked there for the same company and for a couple of years, and moved back to Houston, worked a couple of years. And then we moved back to Alaska with his job, not with my job. I had, at the time, I had our first children, and so we moved back to Alaska with his job and the new kids. And so I took a while off there to be with the kids, but I also started doing graduate study at the same time in environmental engineering there at the University of Alaska, Anchorage. And did that for a while. And then with the downturn in the industry at the time, which was the early 90s, to miss the layoff bullet, we moved to Kuwait with the company. So I followed my husband's career. And I also decided at that time to start homeschooling my children. So I started homeschooling them, with, you know, which was a long-term project that I started managing. Now I see it as a project management experience, but we started in the first grade. I homeschooled through the ninth grade, and then when they went off to 10th grade at American school overseas, I became a substitute teacher and tutor, mainly in the sciences, some English, and did that for a while. And then they graduated, and we moved again with my husband's career, and I got a job at the new location overseas as a technical assistant supporting all the disciplines, which I really loved. I like to have my hand in all the different areas, but I'm not expected to be a SME in all these things. But I like, of course, environmental and the HSE area and the reservoir engineering. Those are given. Plus geology, I had 2 years of geology in my undergraduate studies, so I enjoyed that. Production, operations, drilling, not the best at drilling. I'm a bit intimidated by the whole drilling thing, but I enjoy reading and being involved in it. And also I became involved in the decision process in a major oil company and learned about the whole process from beginning to end and how projects are started and planned and designed and executed and operated, and then eventually, of course, abandonment. But that was all very interesting to me. So I really got a good feel for project management that I had been doing all along, but now I have more of an idea, framework to go with that. And then we moved back to the United States with my husband's career, and I received this job at SPE as a technical editor, manager of subject matter experts on particular issues. And I enjoy that because I get to be involved in the hot topics in the industry and work with all these, you know, experts and just have my hand in all the different aspects of the business. So right now I have a project in unconventional resources. I have a project in safety, near-miss issues, and another one in decision quality or the project decision process. So it's all very interesting. So it is a different road than most people take.
Definitely. Very, quite varied, in fact.
You did ask me if I would encourage anyone to do that. I encourage people to be open-minded and flexible and just receptive to new things. You know, I find it exciting and learning new things. And even now, I'm going to be going back to graduate school in the fall to get my Master's of Science in Engineering Management. So you're never too old to stop learning. And so I encourage them to follow what is best for their family and their career.
Good advice. So back in the 90s, you were involved in testing and working on getting all the bugs out on the echo meter. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that was actually the summer of 1986. I was working for Sun Oil Company in the research laboratory in Dallas. And one of my projects that summer was to go to Oklahoma with the field technician and work on the development of the echo meter, which was at the time revolutionary because it was a laptop, which, you know, we had the big monsters on our desk, and this was the first, I think this was the first laptop I had ever seen. It was a Toshiba laptop in this steel briefcase with the foam and everything. And then it was hooked up to a huge gas cylinder to shoot gas pulses down the annulus of a well and then record the response. And from that, it can be translated into pressures. And then you can diagnose the operation of your well. But we were working on specifically determining the bottom hole pressure in gassy wells in Oklahoma that were on rod pump. So this tool was shooting down the annulus, so you didn't have to pull your tubing, and you could just stop the well as you needed and do this test and then bring it right back online as soon as the test was over. So it would really save you a lot of time, a lot of money, not pulling all your tubing and all that business, and also give you a good feeling for the performance of the well, and you could adjust your well. So that was very interesting. And sitting out in the cow pasture in Chickasha, Oklahoma at 2 a.m. to make sure this machine operated correctly. It was fun. You know, not many people would think that was fun, but I thought it was exciting. So
you were just doing it in the middle of the night, or was it a day-round thing? How did that work?
Yeah, the test, we were doing bottom hole pressure buildup tests. So the machine was brand new. This was one of the first wells they had used it on, and the echo meter company wanted Sun Oil to partner with them and test it out and develop it. And we went to the field to test it. So in order to make sure it was working right, of course, we'd have to check up on it, you know, to make sure everything was firing like it was supposed to, that the computer was recording and everything was working correctly. And yeah, it did require, you know, setting your alarm and going back out there and checking it. So we might take a shot every, you know, 4 hours, say. I don't remember what the time was. Maybe it was 6 hours. And during the day, that was fine because we could sit there and check on it. But at night, yeah, you'd have to get up and go out there and make sure it was working right. And it did malfunction. And the technician that I was there with didn't know what to do. You know, he was ready to pack it in and go back to Dallas. And I said, no, let me see the engineer's manual or schematic on the tool. Let me see the tool. Because we knew where it was not working. The computer was working fine, and of course the gas bottle is just a gas bottle, but it's the regulator and apparatus that they used between those two things. So I looked at the schematic and determined that I thought it was this O-ring inside that was leaking because we weren't getting a shot. So we took it apart and replaced the O-ring, and it worked. And we continued our test, and we stayed out there, and we were successful, and we came back into the office like we were supposed to with our full data that we needed. So it was exciting. And I made a friend in the technician.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for meeting with me and doing this interview. Is there anything else you'd like to include that maybe we didn't get to?
No, not unless you'd like to ask me more. I can talk your ears off.
Well, I think we're fine for now, but thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Amy.